We are going to set our hearts to Romans chapter 8. We'll read verses 1 through 10. Just a reminder that we're considering this series of contrasts. And as we take a look at Romans 8, 1 to 10, we'll see that there is a contrast in every single one of us, two different mindsets and two different natures that are at war with one another. We read from Romans 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. This is God's word. Let me begin by just asking a simple question. How do you determine value and worth in something? If you were to sell your home, how would you determine its worth? Would you tell the prospective buyer, you tell me what you think it's worth, and you can pay whatever you think it's worth? Would a car salesman or a car ownership, dealer ownership, would he say to those who are looking to buy cars from them, would he say, you tell me what you think the car is worth, and then you can pay whatever it's worth? The answer to that is no, because if you let someone else determine the value and the worth, then they're going to significantly undervalue what that thing is actually worth. So now let me ask you this. How do you determine what your life is worth? How do you determine the value of your life? That's such a difficult question to answer, isn't it? We're going to look at how you determine value of life in our words here from Romans chapter 8. We're going to consider three points. First off, we're going to consider the two natures of life. Secondly, the two mindsets of life. And finally, nurturing your spirit mindset. Let's consider each one of those. First off, the two natures of our lives. There's a very famous section in the Bible just before Romans 8. Romans 7 is a very famous section where Paul, he famously says these words. Follow along if you've got your Bibles. Feel free to open up, but they'll also be on your screen. This is what Paul famously writes. He says, I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Let me skip ahead now to those slides. I forgot to click ahead to those. So here we go. Here's Paul's words, very famous section from Romans chapter 7. Paul is saying that there are two natures living inside each and every one of us. Natures that are at odds against one another and fighting against one another. I kind of think of an illustration that I often use in catechism class is this idea of Harvey Dent or Two-Face, how he has these two different natures inside of him warring against one another, a good side and a very evil and bad side. Paul is saying that that's what we have inside each and every one of us. Let me just use an illustration, one that maybe you can all relate to. I myself have a burning desire inside of me to, if I could, eat anything that is savory and salty and bacon and deep fried for every single meal, if at all possible. That's what the deep desire of my stomach is telling me on a daily basis. But I also have another desire inside of my heart, and that is to live past the age 40. These two desires are in conflict with one another and warring against each other. Maybe you can relate to this. Paul, however, is not talking about his diet and the different conflicting desires there. No, instead, Paul is talking about his moral life. He's saying that inside of him, there is a moral desire to do what is good, given to him by God through faith, but there is also a sinful nature in him that is extremely selfish, only fighting for itself. And these two natures are at war with one another, fighting against each other. Paul says we all have this. We have two natures inside of us, warring and fighting against one another. And because of that, because there's this dual nature inside each and every one of us, there is also two different mindsets that we have because of it. Paul goes on. In Romans 8, verse 5, he says this, "Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live according with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires." Now, what does it look like to have a mind set on what the sinful nature desires? Well, the sinful mindset is one that only cares about itself. It is by nature very selfish. And at a moment like this, a moment of a pandemic, where it seems like everything is falling apart, if you're anything like me, that sinful nature is probably trying to work overtime in your heart. Just as an example, the stock market is down roughly 30% or so just in the last month. Where is your mind going? Are you wondering, what am I going to do? What about my retirement? What about my future? God, what is going on here? I need you to fill me in. What is happening here? Now, I don't mean to downplay the seriousness of this pandemic and its far-reaching effects into our lives. But if the only thing that you are thinking about at a time like this is yourself and your future and you, then, as Paul wrote, that sinful mindset is winning the battle. It's winning that war because it's only thinking about you and yourself. It's winning the war because as you do that, as you think only about yourself, you are basically saying, I am more valuable than anybody else. I'm going to care for me, number one, first. I am more important. I'm worth more than anybody else. That sinful nature and that sinful mindset oftentimes win the war and that battle in times of uncertainty like we're facing right now. But today I want to tell you that you don't need to worry so much about yourself. You don't need to set your mind only on yourself and your future and yourself at a time like this. And here's why. This is what Paul says in Romans 8, verse 3. He says, "For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man." Here's what Paul is saying. He's telling us that God's law, it often reminds us just how selfish our sinful nature is. But what it doesn't do is tell us how valuable we are. Jesus alone can tell us that. At times of uncertainty, you can be certain that God values you because he is thinking about you. Just consider, if you would, consider Psalm 8. If you have a chance, flip to Psalm 8 in your Bibles. This is what David writes in Psalm 8. He says this, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him?" In this vast, enormous universe, there are planets and galaxies that have yet to be discovered. And as God, the creator of all things, set all of that in motion and cares for it and sustains it, it says that he's not overly concerned with those things. Instead, he is setting his mind on you, thinking about you, filling his thoughts with you. It may not seem like it at times like this, but you can be certain that God values you. We know that because of what he already did for you in Jesus. He sent Jesus, as Paul tells us in Romans 8, to be an offering for your sins on the cross. The cross is proof. It is proof that God is still thinking of you. God was thinking of you when the flesh on his back was torn off as Roman guards beat him. God was thinking of you when Jesus, when he hoisted that splinter-filled cross onto his flesh-torn back and carried it as far up a hill as he possibly could. God was thinking of you when they took his hands and feet and pinned them to that cross. He was thinking of you when he cried out, "Father, forgive them." He was thinking of you when he spread out his arms and he lied there. He was on that cross and he died for you. God was thinking of you all along. Friends, you don't need to be so worried about yourself and thinking so much about yourself and filling your thoughts with yourself, because God is already doing that for you. Now, how do you go about nurturing that selfless mindset? Well, I'm reminded of a verse that we looked at what seems like an eternity ago, but was just only a week ago in adult Bible class. Colossians 3:16 says this. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." The only way to nurture that spirit mindset, that selfless mindset in your hearts, is to dwell on the word of God and let it dwell in you richly. You know, the more you fill your thoughts with something, the more it's going to overtake you. And I know that seems obvious, but the more you think about you and yourself and your future and yourself, just all of those things, the less room there is to dwell on the word of God and let it dwell in you richly. So I encourage you at this time to dwell on the word of God that he has prepared for you. Dwell on these words from Romans chapter 8, where Paul says, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." As you dwell on these words, you will be reminded of how much worth and value you are in God's eyes. Who alone has the right to determine the value of your life? Only the God who created you and meticulously designed you in your mother's womb. Only the God who stretched out his arms and died for you can do that. In this time of separation and isolation, I am reminded that for the first 3 centuries AD, Christianity was illegal. There were no such thing as Christian churches. Instead, what happened was basically every home was a church. Parents, they were the ones who brought up their children knowing their Lord, knowing how much God valued them, that he died for them. Every home was a church. Now, at a moment like this of a pandemic, when everybody is wondering, what is the value in this? Why is God allowing this to happen? My prayer is that we would all see this as an opportunity to return God to our homes, to continue to grow closer to God and to one another in our homes. I pray that we bring God back into our family lives, where we can dwell on God and his word richly and pray together richly. My wife and I, we do a nightly devotional. And what I like about this devotional is at the end of it, it doesn't give us a canned prayer where we just read what the prayer is written at the bottom of the page. Instead, what's nice is it just says, here's a thought for prayer. And then it gives us maybe a sentence or two of things to think about and pray about. I like that because it's encouraging us to develop our prayer life with God. So I'm going to do that same thing for you right now as well. Instead of giving you a prayer to say and read at home, I'm going to give you a thought for prayer, for you to say together or think about and pray together about as a family. And here's what my thought is for you. As we remain physically apart, here's what you can think about. Ask that God would help you continue to grow closer together as a family, and more importantly, as a family growing closer to God in your home. Ask that God would bless that with your family, with your church family, and with all the families in the world right now. Ask that God would give you that kind of a spirit-filled, selfless mindset. Amen.